We are told that if you want to avoid an argument, then avoid bringing up religion or politics. As we've seen over the past months, going on a couple of years now, actually, Pope Francis seems to not just approach those topics, but wants to blend them together via his various epistles over his time in the papal see. That's one of the reasons why so many eyes and ears are focused on this past week's meeting between President Trump and the Pope. Here to offer his analysis of this get-together is senior editor at The Stream, author of The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism, John Smirak. Thanks for being here today, John.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
And you read John's work after you read his book over at stream.org. So, certainly two heads of states, technically that's what the Pope is, and certainly that's what the President is when they get together. It is an attention-worthy event. But given, let's just say, the topic of immigration, for example, it seemed to be people are expecting a collision versus a meeting, and this is something you wrote about recently over at The Stream.
Right, and it was a very formal meeting, so you didn't actually have any collision, but it was there under the surface. I think it's important for President Trump and for American voters to know that on the subject of immigration, Trump's position is closer to the official Catholic teaching than what Pope Francis usually says. If you look at the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which is roughly analogous to the U.S. Constitution, it binds the Pope the way the Constitution binds the President. The Catechism says that countries have the right to say no to immigrants. The countries have the right to look to their common interests and their own well-being and common good and regulate the flow of immigration based on the national interest. That's close to what the Catechism says, and it's exactly what the GOP platform in 2016 says. And that's not a big surprise because conservative Catholics were involved in writing the platform. It also says immigrants are obliged to obey the law, pay taxes, assimilate, and become patriotic citizens. And if they don't do those things, they don't have the right to remain in the country. That's all in the Catholic Catechism. You don't hear any of that from Pope Francis or even from American bishops, who seem to have adopted a de facto open borders position where the immigrant is always right, the citizen is always wrong, the country is always wrong, and we're just going to mindlessly take sides with any immigrant who comes in the country unless you can prove that he's a terrorist.
And even then, that's some question about it. As we've seen more and more often, it seems like the Catholic bishops here in the States don't want to take any lessons from what has been happening in places like, let's say, Manchester, England, where they have, at best estimate, 3,500 former Libyan radicals who fought with ISIS now as immigrants in Manchester, England alone. But when you see the talk of sanctuary cities here in the States, what do you usually see standing alone with the sanctuary city organization proponents, usually the clergy from that city or from that area?
That's right. The Catholic bishops in America are a hopelessly biased source on the subject of immigration, because 22% of American Catholics are Latin American immigrants. Wrap your head around that. One out of five Catholics is an immigrant from Latin America. Furthermore, 40% of Americans who grow up Catholic leave and join some other church or no church.
Well, that certainly happened after what we learned from the Boston Globe reporters back in 2002, I think that was.
Yeah, it was happening before that, though. It's not just one scandal. It's the weakness of church institutions, the fact that the bishops have let doctrinal laxity take over and bad liturgy, and they let radical nuns run the schools. They don't police who gets into the seminary. The Catholic Church is turning into something like the Episcopal Church or the Presbyterian Church, a mainline Protestant denomination. It seems to be turning that way in front of our eyes, and Pope John Paul and Pope Benedict tried to stop it. Pope Francis appears to be trying to accelerate it. And what happens with mainline Protestants is they leave. They drift away. It's a low-intensity, low-commitment, low-interest kind of religion, and people drift away. 40% is the number, according to the Pew Research Center. So the Catholic bishops are reliant to keep the pews filled, to keep the Catholic percentages of Americans from shrinking every year, ultimately shrinking by 40%. They rely on they're parasitical on better bishops in Mexico and Guatemala who have formed their people better in the faith, and they come to America and they stay Catholic for a few years, but then they get alienated too, and a lot of them drift away and leave the church as well. But the bishops are just ready with another busload to sort of fill the pews temporarily until, you know, then they can retire and not worry about it.
So John Zmirak, who writes over at TheStream.org, also author of the book The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So, in effect, it's almost a parallel what we hear with the Democratic Party with politics in America. They're just looking for the Hispanic and even the illegal vote, if that's even possible, because it's all about money and it's all about the count.
I think for bishops, it's all about keeping their numbers up, and it's embarrassing to have your diocese shrink by 40%. I mean, that's going to make you look bad in front of bishops from other countries where that's not happening. And also, you don't have political clout if nobody's going to your church. Cardinal Mahoney of Los Angeles, one of the worst in the sex abuse crisis, spent most of his time as an advocate for illegal immigrants, and he was a real political figure there. He would have lots of recent immigrants and illegals at rallies, and they were his biggest fans. And he focused on that instead of cleaning up his diocese. We're seeing that. It's also a way for bishops to sort of curry favor with the secular media. Yes, we're forced to take stands against things like abortion and same-sex marriage, but we'll be just as harsh against Donald Trump on immigration. As I wrote in the article, 24 American bishops and a major U.S. cardinal, Peter Turkson, came out with a statement a few months ago called The Message from Modesto, where they committed Catholic parishes to being sanctuaries, to helping evade binding U.S. immigration laws, basically hide illegals from ICE and the police. That's just outrageous. Those churches that do that deserve to be investigated and lose their tax exemption.
You know what strikes me, and this is maybe a parallel with the aftermath of the sex scandal. I mean, even after all these years, all the facts and the proof to this day, you have Catholics, primarily older senior citizens, who, when you bring this up with them, they'll say, well, you're just attacking the church. When someone looks to present within the church the facts that you just revealed and say, come on, this has to stop, we have to change, we have to get with it for our survival as far as our faith is concerned, not about how the ledger sheet looks, what do they get as a response?
I think most people, especially when I point out to them that the official church teaching is close to the Republican platform, and all I'm doing is saying that the bishops are departing from it, that usually, you know, defangs them. The fact that I've written 9 books defending the Catholic Church usually helps, too.
Yes, that's usually good, too. But, you know, people have their comfort zone. People have their desires versus what reality dictates. So when a church or any body or any business, you know, put it in the secular world, change is rough. Fixing what's broken is rough. People don't want to do the heavy lifting.
Right, and right now the U.S. bishops have gotten kind of comfortable. They can keep on being letting their churches be mediocre and lukewarm because they're subsidized effectively. There's a human subsidy coming from Latin America, so that however bad the preaching is, however bad the liturgy is, however empty the seminary is, you can count on, you know, there'll be some more people coming into the church. They just crossed the border into the country. Let's set up a Spanish mass for them. And it just allows the church to be incredibly lazy about its core mission, which is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, evangelizing the world, evangelizing the culture, helping families to pass the faith on to their kids. None of that's happening. What we're doing is simply serving as a processing center for immigrants from Latin America, helping them become secular Americans, often on public assistance.
I wonder, too, if this chasing of the people out of the church because of these policies and these practices, has this given rise to people falling prey to the illegitimate televangelists that they see on TV, figuring, well, I'm not going to go to the church of my family for all these years. I could sit home and watch this guy on TV preach that if I send him $50, God's going to give me $5,000.
Yeah. Well, and some of them join decent evangelical churches that actually do preach the gospel better than their liberal Catholic parishes before.
Which we've seen, that's the rise of the non-denominational Christian churches.
That's right. I mean, people leave mainline Protestant churches and now mainline liberal Catholic churches for a reason, because they don't feel like they're getting anything they couldn't get just by watching Oprah and going to a Democratic Party fundraiser. They want something supernatural. They want something rooted in the Bible. And if they don't find it at the Catholic Church, they might well find it at the local evangelical church. And sorry, I have to say, more power to them.
Well, that's the thing, too. If you're going to a house of worship and you have this feeling of uncomfortable come over you, then you're in the wrong house. And it's not because of you. It could be because of the person who is supposed to be running the house. And as John writes in his article over at the Stream, an immigration memo from a, quote, deplorable Catholic to Trump for his meeting, it gives you a proper perspective of what is and really what the path to faith is really supposed to be all about. And not the mechanics, it's spiritual, it's the soul, not the secular, and there's a lot of pieces of the puzzle. A lot of people are trying to twist and turn, and unfortunately too many of those people have the run of the place too. But with voices like John and hopefully faith like you who are listening, those who are trying to do the incorrect can be corrected, or if not, then they left to the side and you go on to your brighter lights. You can, again, read the article that John wrote about Trump's meeting with the Pope, an immigration memo from a deplorable Catholic to Trump for his meeting with Pope Francis over at stream.org. And also don't forget about his many books, including The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism. John Zmarek, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you. Have a good day.